Dear listeners, my sister and I decided to create a newsletter for our home called the E27 Times many years ago. That newsletter turned into a monthly gazette called the Happy Herald. The Happy Herald turned into Spirit, a monthly magazine which we continue to publish. It is our privilege and pleasure to share our writing and spirit with you. My name is Naveen. I am 14 years old and a sophomore in high school. I have a keen interest in science, medicine, and public service. In my spare time, I play ice hockey, tennis, and run cross country. I am the cartoonist, chief technical director, and co-founder of Spirit. I present to you the June 2021 edition of Spirit Magazine. Dear readers, time flies is very possibly the tritest of all platitudes, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Sorry! When I started high school, the phrase I heard most was, "Enjoy it, it goes by so fast." To my freshman self, this statement seemed exaggerated. Surely, time could not really be warped in such a way. But I'm here to say that this school year seemed to barely have started back in January, but now, I'm no longer a sophomore and we have completed month 6 out of 12. There is so much writing about time. Its capriciousness, its malicious, ceaseless march onward. But reckoning with time in your own life still happens on your own terms. In other words, how you view time and what you do with it are both things I think you come to understand because of your own experiences. All the same, I'm hopeful when I think that we've still got half a year left. Half a year that we can make into whatever we want. The world is finally recovering from the pandemic, right? In the meantime, there are causes to support, books to read, and change to facilitate within our own communities. And the summer is only begun. Have a wonderful summer, everyone. Stay well, safe, and hydrated. With love, Editor Janu. EditorJanu@gmail.com. That is EditorJanu@gmail.com. The quote of the month, June 2021, is, "No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world." Mr. Keating, Dead Poets Society. Jane and the Fire, by Janu. In 1958, young Jane has just moved to the city of Chicago, Illinois, with her parents and cousins Billy. Jane, Paige, and Don are spying on the three thugs already secret meeting in The Hungry Eagle. They've identified a photo of a building well known in the community. What is that picture being used for? Those unsavory gentlemen are definitely plotting something. But what? Mr. Bennett whispers, "Quiet! That detective is approaching!" The children peer around the coffee shop. No one is taking any notice of the trio in the vent or at the table, except "Uncle Wallace!" whisper shrieks Jane. Paige and Don look at her. "Your uncle is a detective?" whispers Paige. "Cool!" "I didn't know that," sputters Jane. "I thought he was a record keeper or something. I don't know..." Mr. Peel looks increasingly worried as Uncle Wallace strides closer towards them. "What's Wallace Joyce doing here?" snaps Mr. McCauley. "Did you sell us out, Mr. Bennett?" "Are you questioning my loyalty, Mr. McCauley?" Mr. Bennett bikes back. "Shut up," squeaks Mr. Peel. "Both of you, be quiet." The three children in the vent can barely breathe for interest. Jane is thrilled. "I can't believe Uncle Wallace is a detective," she whispers. "He always seemed so... normal?" The Landrys don't deign to respond to this. Their eyes are glued to the scene unfolding below in the coffee shop. "Act natural, Mr. Peel," whispers Mr. McCauley urgently. "Whatever you do, for my own sake, act natural." Mr. Peel looks anything but natural. He has gone a pale green color, paper white with a hint of mint. But it's too late for him to do anything but clutch the incriminating newspaper in front of his face because Uncle Wallace has finally crossed the crowded coffee shop and reached the table. The three thugs are ignoring him even as he stands an inch away. Mr. Peel is still frantically pretending to read the fake newspaper, Mr. Bennett is concentrating very hard on his coffee cup, and Mr. McCauley is staring at a plant pot behind Mr. Bennett with a casual air. "Don't stop talking on my behalf," says Uncle Wallace with a mildly interested air. Wallace Joyce, says Mr. Macaulay with an admirably calm smile under the circumstances. Long time no see, you old rascal. He chortled in a friendly way. If I recall correctly, says Uncle Wallace, that was because you were in prison, Mr. Macaulay. Why don't you sit down and have a cup of coffee? Mr. Macaulay says with a blasé smile. Mr. Bennett and Mr. Peel look horrified. I'm afraid I can't, says Uncle Wallace. I happen to be investigating an attempted burglary at the bank, Mr. Macaulay, that you have previously attempted to rob on multiple different occasions. You wouldn't happen to know anything about that, would you? Up in the vent, an epiphany is taking place. The bank, whispered Paige. It's across the street from the strange building at the park. At that very moment, Mr. Macaulay sneezes, and Mr. Peel jumps and drops the newspaper. Will the mystery end here? Keep reading next month to find out. The fruit of the month. Plantain? More like plant-aid. By Janu. Plantains are the more obscure cousin of the banana. However, their relative unrenown in the West is unheard of in the East. Plantains are a highly favored nutrient option, especially in tropical areas. Think banana, but also think potato. Why should you be interested? Well, plantains are very starchy. Naturally, they are a great source of carbohydrates. More than just carbs, though. Plantains are good sources of magnesium, vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin B6, and potassium. Plantains help to support the gut and healthy bowel. Plantains contain an average of 3 grams of fiber per cup. Plantains have been shown to boost immunity, most likely because of the quantity of vitamin C that they contain. Potassium equals heart health. Enough said. Also, though, according to Healthline, fiber lowers cholesterol levels. This helps your heart function as well as it can. Back to point one. The fact that plantains contain lots of carbs means that they make you feel full quickly and feel full longer. This makes plantains a great choice for many different diets and for anyone looking to manage weight. Plantains do need to be cooked to be eaten. This might present an opportunity for you to learn some new recipes. Plantains can be fried, stewed, or even turned into pancakes and arepas. Next up, we have Spirit Athletics. Back in control, Novak Djokovic. In June 2019, when Novak Djokovic's featured article was published in Spirit, aka the Happy Herald, he was ranked world number one in men's singles tennis and had won his 14th major championship. Fast forward 24 months and a global pandemic later, he is still world number one and has added 5 more major championships to boot his record-shattering list of achievements. After winning his second career Roland Garros title earlier in June, Djokovic said, "Everything is possible." Of course, he meant winning a record-breaking 21 majors in men's tennis. He was one Grand Slam short of catching Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Both won 20 majors. Since Wimbledon and the Olympics are in the vicinity now, this summer is going to be quite a fiesta for the tennis world. He could become the first person to win the calendar Golden Slam since Steffi Graf achieved this feat in 1988. Djokovic won the Australian Open Tennis Championship back in February. He is the first Serbian player to be ranked number one by the ATP and the first male player representing Serbia to win a Grand Slam singles title. He's also been number one for a record total of 327 weeks. I have achieved some things that a lot of people thought it would not be possible for me to achieve. I'll keep on going. I'll keep on chasing, said Djokovic in Paris. Best of luck, champion. Next, we have Ye Olde Folktales. This one is Dick Whittington and His Cat, originally by Joseph Jacobs, retold by Naveen. The story is loosely based on the life of Richard Whittington, a mayor of London in 1397. Once upon a time, in a poor village in England, there was a small boy called Dick Whittington. His mother and father had died, and he was left poor and homeless. He was not yet old enough to work and was very badly off. The rest of the villagers were as poor as Dick. They had barely enough food for themselves, but they spared what bread crusts or potato peelings they could for the little boy. Dick had these for dinner and mostly did not have breakfast. One day, Dick thought of London, the great city where the country people said the streets were paved with gold. The following morning, a big wagon drove through the village. Dick thought that the wagon would roll all the way to London, so he asked the driver if he could walk beside the wagon. The driver eyed Dick and his tattered clothes and decided to let the boy ride in the cart. When they reached London, Dick leapt out of the wagon and did not even thank the kind wagoner. Such a hurry was he in to see the streets paved with gold. He kept running through the empty roads, hoping to finally reach the gold-paved ones. Dick had seen a guinea, which was 1/4 of an ounce of gold, 3 times in his village, and he thought if he took up 3 or 4 bits of the gold road, he would have all the money he needed. Dick ran till it was dark, and seeing nothing but stone and dirt streets everywhere, he sat in a corner and cried himself to sleep. In the morning, he woke up hungry and asked people for charity. One gentleman gave him a halfpenny, but most ignored him. One angry man cried, "Go to work, you idle rogue!" "I would, sir, if you would but hire me," said Dick, but the man cursed at him and went on his way. A kindly gentleman hired Dick to make hay at his field, but once the harvest was over, Dick was no better off than in the beginning. He eventually wandered to a random house and collapsed on the stairs. The evil-tempered cook beat him and tried to chase him away, but at that moment, the wealthy merchant who owned the house, Mr. Fitzwarren, came home to dinner. "Why do you lie there, my boy? Come, let us go in to supper," he said. The man took Dick inside, and at once he was fed. He was made a bed in the attic and given there work there as a cook's assistant. He worked hard at every task he was given, but was dreadfully troubled by the other workers, who were cruel to the poor boy. Only Alice, Mr. Fitzwarren's daughter, was kind to him always. When she came to see the trouble Dick faced, she insisted that the servants stop or be sent away. Dick did not suffer any more from them, but he was kept awake at night by the rats that were in the attic. He saved up every penny he could and bought himself a cat, the finest mouse catcher in England, and one who was quick and intelligent. Dick kept the cat with him in his garret. It was a comfort and a friend to him, and he soon grew very fond of it. Mr. Fitzwarren later announced that he would be traveling to Africa for a trading venture. He asked all the house servants to give him something that they owned so he could sell it for them. Dick did not have a thing to sell and sat in his attic, feeling sad and ashamed. Mr. Fitzwarren told him that he could sell his cat, and Dick gave it up with tears in his eyes. A few weeks later, the merchant ship belonging to Mr. Fitzwarren arrived in a Moor settlement in Africa. The sailors were warmly welcomed by their king and queen, and all the Moors and sailors sat talking merrily in a dining hall. Suddenly, the doors opened, and 100 rats flooded the room, eating every bit of food. The astonished Mr. Fitzwarren asked the king if this happened often. The king said that it did, and that he would give up half his fortune for a cure. Mr. Fitzwarren brought in Dick's cat, and the king, when informed that it would get rid of the rats, and that his kittens would be enough to stock the whole country, paid at once half his fortune with gladness. Mr. Fitzwarren returned to England with a fortune. All the men told him that it was too much money for little Dick, and that he should keep it. Mr. Fitzwarren said, "He shall have the entire sum, and I shall not take a single farthing from him," though the fortune was more than what he himself had. When little Dick received his treasure, he shouted with joy and begged Mr. Fitzwarren to take what portion of it he pleased, but the kind merchant shook his head and smiled to see the orphan happy. After Dick was washed, had his hair combed, and was made a fine suit, he looked a handsome young man. Alice thought him a wonderful gentleman, and Dick, remembering her past kindnesses, became her sweetheart. With Mr. Fitzwarren's blessing, the two were married. In time, Dick became the Lord Mayor of London, and lived happily ever after, as did his cat. The end. The next article is Fine Arts, and we have 3 different works of art. One of them is a hand-painted landscape by Kashfi and Rahul. It has a river flowing next to brick or stone walls And in the background, you can see a meadow with a sunset in the sky. Next is a picture by Cam, and it is a pink sky. It's a sunset again, next to the lake. And third, we have doodles by Janu. There's one of John Lennon. There's one of Cyrano de Bergerac, and there's one of Peter from Heidi. And there's one, a little one, of the goat. Are you an artist, poet, photographer, or a writer? Send us your artwork, composition, photography, etc. to see it featured in a future edition of Spirit. Email editorjanu@gmail.com with inquiries. Next we have The Funny by Coochie, the cartoonist. Good jokes only. Pogwee the Pickled Pear is this month's cartoon, another episode of Pogwee the Pickled Pear and Friends, which is a Spirit original. So in the first panel, the friends, Pogwee, Otto, and Boris the Banana are deciding what to do. So Pogwee says, "What should we do?" And he has a worried look on his face. Otto says, "I think we should help the mushroom children. After all, they saved us from the dog. We don't have anywhere to go or anything to do, so let's help find Miraculous Mushroom," says Boris. "Thank you," says the mushroom children's leader. "Take this necklace and show this to Miraculous Mushroom when you find him." He gives Boris the Banana a key ring, or it looks like a necklace, and it has a multicolored M on it. This is the last picture we found of Miraculous Mushroom. As you can see, it is black and white, and he seems to be near the pyramids of Giza in Egypt, says Morris Mushroom, the leader of the Mushroom Children. And he's holding up a picture which shows the Greek pyramids of Giza, and in the very corner you can see the Miraculous Mushroom's head with his red bandana on it. "Egypt? I've met some beans from Egypt. It is across an ocean," says Pogwee. "The neighbor works at the harbor. Hop onto his truck when he leaves for work," says Morris Mushroom. "Farewell, friends. May you succeed in your quest," he says, and he says farewell to Pogwee, Boris, and Otto. "Bye," they say, and they hop onto the human neighbor's truck when he's leaving for work. Will the friends make it safely to Egypt? Find out in the next episode of Pogwee, the Pickled Pear, and Friends, a Spirit original. The next article is Jot Thoughts Reviews, which is critique on literature and more. And this month's review is on Luca, A Sweet Trip to the Italian Coast, by Janu. You know how sometimes you watch a movie and then you sit back and think, wow? Luca was one of those movies. Luca is not yet another work of art by Pixar. I'm not surprised, but pleasantly taken aback by the sheer brilliance of this animation. The story is sweet, the story of some kid friends who also happen to be sea monsters, set in a picturesque seaside Italian town. It's an escape, and in times like this, it's something that we all need. I decided that this movie was indeed worth it because I felt afterwards that the 1.5 hours spent on it were worth it. It's probably not a movie that'll change your life, but it might be one that makes you smile, and for me, it was one that made me want to spend the afternoon. Pixar movies are special because they remind you to be a child and to appreciate the little things. The fact that they're perfectly cast and mind-blowingly animated is just an additional plus. In short, I recommend that you watch Luca, unreservedly. The rating, 5 stars. The next article is Letters to the Editor, and you can send yours to editorjanu@gmail.com. That's editorjanu @gmail.com. From DA, the first review is, "I really enjoyed reading the April and May edition of Spirit, especially Coochie's cartoon column. It was a pleasure to read the old folk tales. I feel like a little kid again who'd read these stories and enjoy. Keep up the good work." Next is from Cam. He say, "Dear editor, as for children's classics or go-to book, Heidi is my favorite. Besides, of course, Beatrix Potter's books, The Wind in the Willows, Milne's Hundred Acre Woods, Berenstain Bears, Tintin, The Phantom, and the list goes on. In this busy world, it is a gift of time if we sit back, relax, and read. Pogwi is interesting. Love the cheese story. Kudos to Naveen. Getting interesting. Also, could you release the audio version too so we can listen in while driving? The third message is from Masha, and they say, Janu, thanks for more great additions. The folktales are a lot of fun to read. Poor Klaus. I tried out the lemonade recipe, and it works. It's very much a comfort drink for me now. Thanks for answering the question about the canned vegetables, and thanks to whomever asked that. You and your team are doing a great job. I'm pleased to support as a subscriber. Be well! Next up, we have Ask Clever Collie, and you can send your questions to editorjanu@gmail.com as well. Dear Clever Collie, how could global warming possibly be real if random days during the summertime are unusually cold? It's been oddly cold in the summer several days this year. The temperature was much hotter than this time last year. Doesn't that indicate global cooling? Sincerely, Confused Clementine. Dear Confused Clementine, they might seem similar, but weather and climate are quite different things. The key thing to remember is that weather is immediate or current, but climate is long-term. Small changes in seasonal weather patterns don't play a big role in terms of climate, which is measured over long periods of time. If we observe long-term trends, this would be climate, we'd see that global temperatures have been rising at a rate of about 0.2 degrees Celsius annually since the 70s. The thing to remember is that irregular weather can occur because of the single cold front, or another isolated phenomenon of that sort. Climate, on the other hand, indicates a consistent and regular pattern. Earth's temperature is rising, according to most academics today. There are many things that can be done about that. Individuals can try to reduce their carbon footprint, since contributing to the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere can cause radiation from the sun to be trapped in Earth's atmosphere. Great question. Best Clever Collie. Now we have Cooking Collie, innovative recipes, and also your favorite classics. This month's is Gimme S'more Vegan S'mores by Janu. This is not sponsored. All natural options for classic foods may be hard to come by, but that's what we're here for. You asked, we deliver. Here's your new go-to list of s'more ideas. But first, what are all the natural options for the mallow? Dandies are a vegan marshmallow available at Walmart. Ananda's vanilla marshmallows are a British version that is also natural and gelatin-free. These are grocery items where all the ingredients are listed. You'll know exactly what went in and exactly what didn't. Now, for the s'more itself. Basics. Put a piece of chocolate on top of a graham cracker. Roast a marshmallow, let it cool for 1 second, and place on top of the chocolate. Quickly place the other cracker on top of the mallow. Enjoy! If you do not have a fire to make the marshmallow, you can microwave. Interesting additions are, why be ordinary when you can be extraordinary, am I right? These are just a few ideas. Spread peanut butter on top of a basic cracker. Add a few berries in with the chocolate. Replace the chocolate with caramel pieces or toffee. Top the chocolate with a slice of banana. Try white chocolate with lime zesting. Let us know what you think. Happy summer snacking! Next, we have Fond Younger Memories by Janu. Memory is a curious thing. Sometimes you try furiously to remember a thought, yet for all your efforts, the struggle to recall is fruitless. And yet, in other instances, an entirely unnecessary memory pops into your head, disturbing your own tranquility and establishing itself so firmly in your mind that no amount of physical shaking can knock the memory out again. It is this latter class of unforgettable childhood memory that I reference in this piece. I have two memories to speak of, both of which are as crystal clear to me as now as they were ever. I remember wearing a light pink winter jacket as a kindergartner and staring out the door of the apartment that we lived in at the time. It was snowing at the time, and I remember looking at the sky through the smudged glass of the apartment front door and thinking that the snow looked beautiful. I don't remember anything else about that day, but I've never forgotten how it felt to stand there in the entryway in my winter coat and stare at the snow. Another fond memory is the recollection of swimming in Walden Pond famous today for being home to the brilliant writer Henry David Thoreau in the 19th century. I think I was in preschool or in kindergarten at the time. The drive to Walden Pond always felt very long, though I don't recall it ever being dull. We'd load up the car with snacks and towels and sunscreen and all the pond gear and take off to the pond, capital T, capital P. It was a quintessential fairy tale kind of childhood swimming pond. There was a railroad nearby. Once the adults confirmed that no real engine was in the vicinity, we'd run up to the train tracks and put our ears to the metal, listening as hard as we could. Can you recall any of your earliest memories? Let us know. Every summer, like the roses, childhood returns. That's a quote from Marty Rubin. Happy summer, readers. Be well. And that is the end of the June 2021 edition of Spirit. I hope you enjoyed.